every TV program, every TV commercial, every song that comes on the radio, every book or article that is published has some value attached to it, some agenda to change the way we think and thus the way we act. Which means this: Christians ought to be great thinkers. Say, no, I thought we're supposed to be great doers. We are. That's part of it, as we'll see at the end of this study. But first of all, we're to be great thinkers.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
And we welcome you to The Connection with Skip Heitzig as we continue our study in Philippians today with a challenge from Skip on the power of our thoughts. Someone once said, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. And that's some great advice when you consider Jesus to be your master. Well, in today's teaching, Pastor Skip explains that our thoughts can take on a life of their own, so it's important to think the right things. Now, before we begin today, here's how Skip wants to help you cultivate loving relationships.
All You Need Is Love was the anthem of the 60s, born out of a broken and lost generation looking for true love. Not much has changed since then. The world is still looking for love in a lot of dead-end and broken relationships. What does God think about it all? About marriage, the family, the single life? If you're looking for answers, whether you're in a romantic relationship or not, this month's resource package from Skip Heitzig will give you what you're searching for. You'll receive Pastor Skip's book, Beyond the Summer of Love, which will help you lay a solid foundation for your relationships. You'll also get inspiring Australian duo for King & Country's latest album, Run Wild, Live Free, Love Strong, and a special interview with them and Pastor Skip. The book, CD, and interview are yours for any amount donated to The Connection. Order today at 1-800-922-1888 or visit us at connectiononline.org/offers.
And we always enjoy hearing from our listeners. So if you'd like to share a story or a testimony about how this ministry has been helpful in your spiritual walk, would you contact us? We'd also love to hear your prayer requests and praise reports. Just send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org or write to us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico. 87199. You know, we're not entirely capable of keeping our thoughts to ourselves because they will eventually come out in our actions. So to represent Christ, we must have the mind of Christ. And in today's study, we'll find out just how to do that with Skip Heitzig here on The Connection.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection.
In our current series, Heaven Below, open your Bibles once again to Philippians chapter 4 as Pastor Skip begins today's message.
What I'd like to do is take you, first of all, to the end of verse 8 and begin with what I'm calling the preeminence of right thinking. The preeminence of right thinking. We'll go through the list in a minute, but notice toward the end of verse 8, he says, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Or again, other translations, think on these things. That's a commandment, by the way. Present, active, imperative. And remember that Paul has been giving a lot of those in this section, those staccato-like, military-like commandments. I urge you, I implore you, do this, do that. And here, once again, meditate is a commandment. The word is very interesting. The Greek word is logizomai. It sounds a lot like logical or logistics or logician. It comes from the same word. I counted 21 words in the Greek language for the word think. This is only one of them. And this word means to contemplate fully, to sit and ponder the depth of something, to logically put pieces of it together and to just let it simmer, fill your minds with it. Or you might say it means this: think logically so that your actions are based on carefully thought out principles. In Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, the biblical writers understood that our thoughts provide the seed bed from which the actions will grow. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I probably don't need to tell you this, but do you know there's a battle going on today for your minds? You receive, or you are subjected to, 1,500 advertisements every single day. Those advertisements are crafted by men and women in rooms who are very creative and who have studied the way human beings think. They know if they can craft an advertisement in just the right fashion, it will affect the way you think, and thus it will affect the way you act toward their product. So it's crafted with intelligence and forethought. Every TV program, every TV commercial, every song that comes on the radio, every book or article that is published has some value attached to it, some agenda to change the way we think and thus the way we act. Which means this: Christians ought to be great thinkers. Say, no, I thought we're supposed to be great doers. We are. That's part of it, as we'll see at the end of this study. But first of all, we're to be great thinkers. I agree with what J.I. Packer wrote. He said, the unbelieving world has lots of good questions. We better have lots of great answers. And he says to the Christian church, learn to outthink them. We ought to be good thinkers. And yet, I got to tell you, it's awfully discouraging to me to find some Christian circles that minimize thinking and maximize feeling and experience. It's this anti-intellectualism. Doesn't matter what you think. Your mind is irrelevant. Detach, man. Get into it. Feel it. And they talk about the deeper life. And I've watched some go so far into the deeper life, they go off the deep end. Listen to the words of A.W. Tozer, who writes, aimless activity is beneath the worth and the dignity of a human being. The great weight of exhortation these days in the direction of zeal and activity. Let's get going is the favorite watchword for gospel workers, with the result that everyone feels ashamed to sit down and to think. You remember that Jesus was having a conversation with the Pharisees, and one lawyer was asking him about the law, and Jesus summed it up by the greatest commandment. Here's Jesus' words. Here's the greatest commandment, said Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Jesus said to his disciples, learn of me. Peter wrote to the church in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Hosea the prophet was speaking to the 10 northern tribes of Israel, he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge, not for lack of feeling, not for lack of worship experience, but lack of knowledge. They are dying on the vine because they lack knowledge. I simply want to say to you, it's okay to think as a Christian. We don't post any signs at the door, please check brains here and drink the Kool-Aid later. No, we encourage you to think. In fact, even Paul commended the church at Berea for not taking everything Paul said at face value, but searching, discerning, thinking through to see if it matched up with the Word of God. You want to have a little fun? Go study the past revivals and you'll discover a common thread. All of the great past revivals, whether they be the Welsh Revival, the Great Awakening, the Reformation, they had a common thread. There was an emphasis on truth, an emphasis on biblical, doctrinal thinking and expository teaching and preaching. It was all about thinking through the truth. It's what Paul calls the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's the preeminence of right thinking. Look again at verse 8. Paul in that verse gives us a grid of six things that form the parameters of right thinking. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Psychologists tell us that 10,000 thoughts go through the human mind in one day. Now, I would say that depends on who you are. I know some people that have much less than that, and some who have more than that. But 10,000 per day are 3.5 million in a year, which means with all of those thoughts that come through the caverns of our mind, we have to harness our thoughts and decide which ones we're going to hold on to, which ones we want to quickly dismiss, which we're going to focus on for a period of time. As Paul said, 2 Corinthians 10, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I love that. It sounds very warfare-like. You know, when you're a conqueror and you take somebody captive and you make them obedient to the king, those thoughts that come in to say, no way, you're not going to get in my mind, I'm going to bring you captive and take you to Christ and make you obey him. Paul wrote to the Roman church and said, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, the six things mentioned, you say, Skip, I counted eight in verse 8. I'm saying six because when it says if there is any virtue or if there's anything praiseworthy, it's both referring to the previous six whatever things that were mentioned. But all of them designate really the same thing. For instance, anything that is true is going to be noble. Anything that is noble will be just. Anything that is just will be pure. Anything that is pure will be lovely. The point is, you and I have the choice of what we're going to sow into our minds and what thoughts are going to dominate. I'm going to read something to you that, well, I don't know who wrote it, but it does pack a punch in terms of a lesson. A few months before I was born, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small Tennessee town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world a few months later. Mom taught me to love the Word of God. Dad taught me to obey it. But the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours every night. The stranger was an incessant talker. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes Mom would quietly get up and go to her room and read her Bible and pray. You see, my dad ruled our household with certain moral convictions, but this stranger never felt an obligation to honor any of them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our home. But our longtime visitor used occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made Dad squirm. To my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. My dad didn't permit alcohol in his home, but the stranger felt we needed exposure and enlightenment in these ways of life. He made cigarettes look tasty and cigars manly. He freely talked of sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive. I know now my early concepts of man-woman relationships were influenced by this stranger. If I were to walk into my parents' den today, I'd still see him sitting over in a corner waiting for someone to listen to him talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name, we always called him TV. See, we do allow by, I was going to say the turn of the channel, but now it's just the pull out the gun from the holster and just go to town, right? Get anything you want. And we say, oh, I'd never do those things, but you are meditating on them, filling your minds with them. So Paul counteracts that with a list of six things to to focus our minds on. And by the way, it was not uncommon of ancient letters, be them Christian or secular, to have a list of virtues toward the end of which that author wanted his followers to emulate. And it's not that Paul is copying the world when he writes these things, because all of these qualities are the very qualities Paul taught and lived himself. And that's where verse 9 comes in, where he says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, as you look at these adjectives, these descriptions, this list of six things, it's a perfect description, if you think about it, of Jesus Christ. In fact, somebody called it the shortest biography of Jesus in the Bible. It certainly fits. Jesus is true and noble and just and pure and lovely, etc. But I think for our benefit, it really means, I think what is in Paul's mind that we should meditate on or think on is the Word of God, the revelation of God as found in the Bible. In fact, if you don't mind, I'd like you to put your marker or finger here and go back to Psalm 19. I want you to notice something. I can't prove this, but I'm going to suggest to you that when Paul wrote this little section of Philippians 4, he had these verses and Psalms in mind because they sound very similar. In Psalm 19, the author describes the work of God in creation and then the work of God in Revelation, verse 7. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right," or righteous, "rejoicing the heart," could be translated just. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." So it sounds very similar to what Paul writes that we ought to meditate on back in Philippians. Let's look at that little list. Whatever things are true. God is a God of truth. He loves the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Jesus called the Word of God the truth when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So, in a world filled with lies and fluff and advertisements that are vying for our attention and action, isn't it great to have constant injections of the truth and to meditate on that, what is true and right? Suggestion: when you get up in the morning, don't turn on the TV. "Oh, but I got to see the news." Listen, before you get the bad news, look at the good news. Meditate on this. It will equip you when you turn on the TV to get the bad news. It'll put it all in perspective. Whatever things are true. Second, whatever things are noble. It means worthy of respect. We should always listen to the Word of God with respect. When a sermon is being preached, when you're reading or somebody else is reading it, it's the Word of God. It should always be respected. I know people who say, "Yes, I think everybody should own a Bible because you can press flowers with it. It looks good on the coffee table. It's very impressive when people walk in." No, it's worthy of respect because of what it does for you. You never have to go anywhere else for the needs of your soul than to the Word of God because of what it effects in your life. It's worthy of your respect. Whatever things are just means righteous or conforming to God's standard. In other words, the more you and I meditate on the truth of the Word of God, God gives us His standard of righteousness, of holiness, of what pleases Him, of what displeases Him, and it puts us on the righteous path. David asked, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By keeping or taking heed according to your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I've truly been amazed over the years when I'm in a crisis and I need to make a decision at how the principles of this book are able to give me guidance. I know you can go to a counselor, but sometimes they're $80 an hour. This is free. And David said, your word, Lord, are my counselors. Your precepts do give me wisdom. Gives me the just path. Whatever things are true, noble, just, whatever things are pure, it means wholesome, no moral impurity. Don't you get tired from time to time? Don't you just stop and looking around at this world, you get tired of the filth? This incessant cesspool of filth that comes our way, it tries to get us to be just like the world is. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress from the Bedford Jail, said something important about the Bible. He said, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. So meditate on it. Something that's worth considering and going over and over. I know a lot of people who refuse to read the Bible. And what they say is, well, I never read the Bible because there's so many contradictions in it. I love it when they say that. Because if I have a Bible, I love to hand them mine and say, would you please show me one? Oh, well, I don't know exactly, but I know there's a lot of them. Great, I'll sit down. I have time. Take your time. Show me one. Let's talk about it. And I've discovered they don't mean the Bible's full of contradictions. What they really mean is the Bible contradicts me. It contradicts my thinking, my lifestyle, because it is so morally pure. I don't want anything to do with it. And so their little smoke and mirror excuse is the Bible is full of contradictions when it's not. Mark Twain said something sort of like that. He said, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. It's all the things I do understand in the Bible that bother me. It says, whatever things are lovely, which is attractive, whatever things are of good report, which means worth talking about. I love talking about God's truth. I honestly do. I'd rather talk about the Bible than just about anything else.
You know, it's not enough just to know about God and what He tells us in the Bible. We must live what we've learned. God's Word has the power to cleanse us and transform us. So how do you handle His truths? Do you put them into practice? Well, that's all the time we have for today. But before we let you know how to get a copy of today's teaching, let's check in with Skip and Lenya as they share about some resources that will help us dig into God's Word. Lenya?
As followers of Christ, we should stand out in the world. You might say we should be outstanding. And one of the ways
my mind goes a whole bunch of different places.
I know you do. One of the ways we can do that is by being ready to give a defense for our faith, as the Apostle Peter instructed us. Skip, tell us about the resources that we have here at Connection.
There are a couple websites that we want to draw people's attention to because we want to get resources into their hands. We want to give them free resources. ConnectionOnline.org is one website, and the other is skipheitzig.com. On those websites, you will find messages, thousands of them, over 2,000 messages covering every single book, all 66 books of the Bible. It's an online store as well with books and studies by both of us, Lenya. You've written lots of material, as have I, and we love getting those out to people who could use them. Also, we have articles that you and I have both written. And then beyond that, there's an app for the mobile device. And you know what I've found is more people are on mobile devices than even computers. You know, I'm looking at people in restaurants and they're not looking at each other, looking at a little screen. This is the downside of technology. But at the same time, when they're looking at a screen, we can get them looking at the truth on that lighted screen, the light of God's truth. That's even better. You can take the teachings with you on the go. You can Bluetooth them in your car and listen to them.
Okay, so you can listen to them, though. It's one thing to be on the phone in a restaurant with someone at the table, but do not do this while you're driving.
Correct.
You can listen to them, but no texting while driving.
Well, that's the idea. I said on the go. I didn't specifically say in the car.
Okay.
But when you're on the go and in the car, you could listen to it, of course not text, but you could push it before you push your foot on the accelerator.
There you go.
And actually go, and then you can listen to it.
ConnectionOnline.org.
Well, that's right, Skip and Lenya. All the info is at connectiononline.org for the Skip Heitzig app, and it's also where you can get a copy of today's message. Do whatever you think. You can also get it by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. These teachings are shared all around the world, and we're encouraged when we hear stories about how they help others fall deeply in love with the Lord. You can help make that same impact in this world by supporting this ministry financially. Just visit connectiononline.org/give. And if this teaching has challenged you as you follow Christ, let us know. Send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org. Are you constantly reaching beyond what you have to find contentment? Tomorrow, Skip breaks apart the myth of the greener grass, so be sure to join us here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.